We had been waiting since August 2019 on the urgent list. Adam's weight was ridiculous. He was so underweight. It was affecting his meal times, where he was eating very small quantities of food.
Because the curvature was
Yeah,
impacting on his stomach,
that's
I
right. It
think.
was squashing against the stomach. So that was 4 years prior to the August of 2019. It's literally going on that long.
And then in February this year, you had your meeting with the consultant, and I remember touching base with you, and there was a little bit of optimism there.
Yeah, we were told we were going to be done in the spring. And then I was up in the hospital on a routine examination with Adam in February. And the surgeon told us, actually, no, you're going to be waiting another 6 to 9 months. We honestly couldn't believe it because Adam was down to 18 kgs. I just remind you, Adam is 10 years old. At that point, his day-to-day quality of life was horrendous, and the hospital knew this. We just honestly couldn't believe that we were going to have to wait another 6 to 9 months. But again, we came together, me and Adam. We thought, you know something? We've waited 4 years in total. We can wait again. We've just been really taking it day by day, but it is having such a negative impact on the quality of Adam's life now that it's actually affecting the whole family. Adam became so in so much pain that he now has to join the CUH pain management team. The chest cavity is now making direct contact with the pelvis, so you've bone on bone. Adam was in so much pain. I was so worried about what was happening internally. You must imagine this spine is impacting, his lungs, his stomach. He has a heart condition. He actually has an aneurysm. It's the worry of what is actually going on inside and what could happen. That's very hard to deal with. It's watching your beautiful child suffer. If I wasn't looking after Adam properly at home, I would be in so much trouble. Adam would be taken away from me. This country has completely. I don't know what they're doing with the kids. It seems to be children who are very, very complex are being left behind. The sickest kids were always seen first. That's not my experience this time. I've been told because he's so complex that they're having a really hard time finding and clearing, there needs to be 4 or 5 surgeons present during this now huge operation, which if it had been done 2 years ago, it wouldn't have gotten to this stage. It wouldn't have to be such an extensive surgery. And every day he's being left, it gets worse.
So it's so hard to listen to that, Brian. You spoke to Adam also. They'd hoped to have the surgery, as Christine said, in spring. That didn't happen. So where exactly do things stand now?
Yeah, I mean, we know scoliosis is a very complex surgery. It does require a whole multidisciplinary team. And as you heard in Adam's case, because he has underlying health issues, it is very complex. The family know this. They've always accepted this. But the impact on Adam's day-to-day life has increased, and the family's frustration is now turning to anger. They feel let down. They feel the goalposts shift every time they have an appointment. And they're actually now considering accessing this surgery in Great Ormond Street in London. But the issue with this is, if you need follow-on care, you have to keep going back to London. And for Adam and the kind of surgery it is, there will be follow-on care. Now, Christine told me about their last appointment in Crumlin when the family were told the surgery is now more complex.
The initial surgery that they wanted to do, they now feel that it's too dangerous to do and that he wouldn't survive. So they're now going to have to do a different surgery. They're not going to get the same results that they hoped to get, which is really heartbreaking. Pain might actually be something that he needs to deal with now every day, which is again very hard to hear. But I'm sure my amazing little boy will get on with it. I'm upset now and I'm crying, but that's pure anger and rage and frustration at the whole thing. It's just, I'm exhausted from it. And I hate saying that. Because Brian, I'm the one who's well. I'm the one who's healthy. Can you imagine how Adam feels? I need Adam to know that I will go to the ends of the earth for him to get whatever treatment he needs to get,
And then you're having
you know, thanks for talking to me, but then you're having to go public and you're having to use the media to try and...
It's disgusting. I am such a private person. Like, Adam is my little... He's my world. It's my job as his mother to protect him as much as I can. Adam's been asking me for weeks to do this interview and I really didn't want to do it because every time you put yourself out there, you know, it's... This is our life, you know? This is our everyday struggle. It's honestly so hard to sit even in front of you, Brian, and get this upset and cry and be upset in front of Adam as well. It's not right. I don't know what to do at this point. And I am raising a little boy with, you know, with very complex needs. Adam doesn't feel heard. He's not a number. He is a little boy from Cork, living with this and struggling with this, and his entire family is every single day.
A listener says, Brian, texting us to 51551, how in a so-called civilised country can this happen to a child? It's so upsetting to listen to what the Terry family are going through. It's a disgrace. And since last week, Adam hasn't been able to go to school, Brian, because of the pain.
Well, the school got in touch last week and asked that Adam be taken home because he was clearly in so much pain in school and he's been at home since. And the pain is now such that he wakes at night. He's exhausted, as you can imagine. But even with Adam being home then to try and access home tutoring hours, that's another battle. You know, it feels like for the family, every step of the way is a battle here. And Christine feels huge appreciation for Crumlin. They saved Adam's life when he was born, but now she can't accept the fact that he still hasn't been given the date for surgery.
And you spoke to Adam himself.
Absolutely. Adam wants his voice to be heard. He wants for decision makers and for people with influence to listen to him, to listen to his day-to-day lived experience. He's a very bright, articulate, he's a very talented young boy. He knows the odds are sometimes stacked against him and he has a high pain threshold. And as his mum Christine told me, Claire, when Adam tells you he's in pain, he really is in pain. So this is Adam Terry, 10 years old, waiting over 4 years for what is urgent scoliosis surgery. And I asked Adam first, how would he describe the pain he's in?
I describe it as in like almost paralysing. Like, it's really sore and, like, sometimes I have to lie down and roll around for it to actually stop. Sometimes I actually have to, like, crack my back to actually relieve the pain.
And do you feel like you're being heard in all of this, Adam?
No, I feel like I'm just, like, at the bottom of the barrel and nobody's coming out to find me in the lost and found. I feel really... to be honest, sometimes I feel like I'm crying myself to sleep because it's so unfair and it just makes me angry and frustrated and sad.
And when you were in the hospital last time, did you feel like, well, okay, maybe there's a little bit of progress?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. I know there's like... I don't know, 178 something kids also waiting, but I don't really want to speak on their behalf. I want to speak about me. I want me to be treated. I want to be heard of. I want to people to like assess me and treat me and make sure I don't feel any pain and, if we're lucky, maybe even the surgery, you know.
Mm-hmm. How does it affect your day-to-day life now? What are the things you'd love to be doing now?
Yeah, I really miss all my friends. And it's actually kind of getting harder to socialise because sometimes I can't even speak because I'm worried I'm going to cry and I don't want
to
cry.
What would your message be to people who may be listening? People in government or people within the hospital management or within the HSE?
I would just say, why is it run like this? It's not that hard to just cut open someone's body, put some metal thingy in, and then put it, like, get it done.
So what do you want to hear in the next few days and weeks, Adam?
I want to hear maybe they're after mentioning me in a meeting, and they, or else they have my date.
Dear Taoiseach, I'm from Cork, like you. You know my story well by now. Will you please ensure I get the treatment and aftercare I so desperately need so I can get back to school and play with my friends who I miss so much? I really, really, need your help.
And this is some of what Taoiseach Micheál Martin said in response to Alan Kelly.
The issue of Adam Terry this morning, I don't think it's good enough, quite frankly. I don't think any child should have to wait so long to get vital surgery of this kind. And it is complex surgery, but that is no excuse. I don't think Ormond Street should be the answer. Sometimes it's necessary for children to go to Ormond Street. In my view, it reflects a systemic failure. And I've spoken to the Minister for Health. My office has been in touch with the HSE. I'm not going to give any false dawns today. I just want to see the surgery happen. And I think it needs to happen. And it needs to happen in a very timely manner.
Well, Adam is one of nearly 200 children waiting for scoliosis surgery in this country, so his case is certainly not unique. And to give us an idea of the plight facing those other children and their families, I'm joined on the line by Claire Cahill, who's co-founder of the Scoliosis Advocacy Network. Claire, you're very welcome. And I know your own son, Dara, has scoliosis. He's 12 now, isn't he? Now, it's fair to say that last week, Brian O'Connell's report on 10-year-old Adam Terry and his wait for scoliosis surgery had a significant impact, leading to apologies from the HSE CEO, Paul Reid, and others. Antisha called the treatment delay a systemic failure, and it put the issue of medical waiting lists back to the fore of the political agenda. Now, on Saturday, Brian went back to meet the Terry family, and they told him about the difficult week they've had managing Adam's pain, but they also informed him of a very significant update in their situation. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
So tell us about the chat you had with the Terry family at the weekend.
Yes, I met with Christine, Terry Adams' mum, and Mark, Terry Adams' dad, on Saturday. I should say, Claire, the Terry family are a very private family. They haven't given any additional interviews, but they did want to update on where things are for them now and to thank everyone for the incredible outpouring of love and support they've had since last Tuesday. I don't think really anyone was prepared for the extent to which the interview with Christine and with Adam really focused attention on the issue of medical waiting lists and on access to treatment for those in need. And I suppose we shouldn't forget, behind all the headlines is a 10-year-old boy. He wasn't able to go to school since last week, and Adam has had a really tough 7 days, so much so that towards the end of the week, the family were very close to calling an ambulance. Such was the pain that Adam was in.
This morning, the issue of scoliosis care in this country is being examined at the Oireachtas Health Committee, which began just after 9:30. The overall issue of scoliosis treatment was put back on the political agenda following reporting on this show by Brian O'Connell with the Terry family in Cork. And you'll remember how 10-year-old Adam was waiting over 4 years for his surgery, and he received that surgery just over 2 weeks ago. Now, shortly, we're going to hear how the committee is going. First, though, Brian joins us to tell us, Brian, how Adam is doing.
Yes, good morning, Claire. As you said, Adam was waiting over 4 years and really captured a lot of people's hearts with his testimony of the daily pain he was in because of the way the curve in his spine was impacting on his body. Now, just under 2 weeks ago, as you said, he did receive his surgery, and this week he was able to return home to continue his recovery in Cork. The family are very keen to focus on the issue of scoliosis care in an overall sense, and we're going to get to that, and we get to the Health Committee as well, which is ongoing. But I did called to the Terry family yesterday just to see how little Adam was doing, and I began by asking his mum, Christine, how did the surgery go?
It was a complete success, and I can't believe I'm saying that. I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth. I can't even believe that he's had the surgery. You know, we've 4 years fighting.
I know you're very grateful, but I know you have conflicted feelings about it as well, Christine, I'd imagine. I mean, you had to go public to get this healthcare.
I have moments where I'm really proud that we did it. And then I have moments where I think, you know, did we do the right thing? But then I come back to just the simple answer of it's done and now we can move on with our lives and recover. I won't say he's over it, but he's recovering better than anybody could ever have anticipated.
He looks completely different. He's sitting upright in his chair.
He's like a 10.5-year-old boy now.
Tell me what he said to you when he got in the ambulance to make his way back to Cork.
Yeah, that was a moment that just, oh my God. He said, this is the start of the rest of my life.
And I just, his eyes welled up and I looked at him and I said, yeah, that's it, buddy. Starts now. I said, the world is your oyster. I said, I can't wait to see what you're going to do.
But if we pull back the focus, which I know you're keen to do, and there are many, many other families now in a similar position.
It's so frustrating. All the week that Adam's surgery was planned, there were cancellations that week. Adam was down in theatre, I'd say about 3 hours, and there was an announcement made that the surgeries were going to be cancelled for the following week. So there would have been friends of ours and children that we knew that had dates, and suddenly they were now not going to get their surgery. So I'll be honest with you, it really affects me as well, because that was Adam 3 weeks ago. So these are children, these are innocent little children. These are not a number on a list in other countries, and I've really done my homework. If you go beyond 40 degrees, your surgery is done.
And that 40 degree that Christine refers to is the curve on the spine.
Yes, and when Adam was operated on, he was over 90 degrees clear. So some children on the list, would you believe, are at 120 degrees in terms of that angle of the curvature of their spines. Adam was clearly in a lot of pain when I called yesterday. He was a little bit withdrawn, as you might expect, but the hope will be all going well. And so far, thankfully, it has gone well. He's going to be back in school, perhaps in the new year. He's sitting up straight, as I said there. Physically, he just looks completely different. So I suppose having been in the system, having come through it, Christine had told me as well, we were talking a bit of what, about what she would like to see happen now for all the families that are still waiting for timely access to treatment. And I began by asking her, how did she feel about the apology she received both from the HSE and from the government?
Do apologies really work if your child has been left for 4 years? I'm sorry. There's an awful lot of talk the last couple of weeks. I want to see action.
You will remember Brian O'Connell's reports with Adam Terry on this show, who told us about the paralysing pain that he was in as he waited more than 4 years for scoliosis surgery. Adam broke the heart of the country and got a phone call from Taoiseach Micheál Martin after describing how he felt left in the lost and found as he waited in limbo for life-changing surgery. Thankfully, last October, Adam finally got his much-needed operation. Yesterday, the Minister for Health announced an extra €19 million funding available for children who are awaiting orthopaedic surgery. Stephen Donnelly said that this was an ambitious plan, but that the aim was that by the end of this year, no child would be waiting for a scoliosis or spina bifida operation for more than 4 months. So what is this going to mean for the parents and the children who are currently on a waiting list for surgery several months or years at this stage? Christine Terry, Adam's mother, joins me on the line now. Christine, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
First and most importantly, how is Adam?
He's doing okay. It's been an exceptionally harrowing couple of months.